Tonight, North Korea vowing revenge, threatening the U.S. will pay dearly as the world forms an unprecedented united front, hitting Kim Jong-un's nuclear-armed regime with a $1 billion punishment. Dramatic emergency rescues as flash floods and tornadoes strike from north to south. Cars tossed like toys. Firefighters save a driver trapped in raging waters. Violent flight. New images from an American Airlines jet. Extreme turbulence tossing people throughout the cabin. ISIS island terror. We're on the front lines, not in Iraq or Syria. In fact, not in the Middle East at all. There's a new battleground in the fight. And targeting depression by using your own genes to find the treatment that works for you. Doctors helping patients finally turn a corner. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. It's good to have you with us on this Monday. With the world standing against him in a way it hasn't before, North Korea's unpredictable leader is lashing out at a new round of international sanctions now facing his country. And he's threatening thousands-fold revenge against the United States. Kim Jong-un's bellicose statements set against the backdrop of North Korea's two recent test launches of intercontinental ballistic missiles, as well as potentially troubling developments beneath the ocean tonight, as the Trump administration weighs a grave set of options if diplomacy fails to halt North Korea's advances. Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Andrea Mitchell has details.
North Koreans lining up to watch state-owned TV, threatening the U.S. with a thousands-fold revenge for what they call villainous U.N. sanctions, warning it's a mistake for Americans to think they're safe. President Trump talking for an hour to his Secretary of State at an Asian summit today. After Rex Tillerson delivered a message to North Korea, stop testing missiles, then we can negotiate.
The best signal that North Korea could give us that they're prepared to talk would be to stop these missile launches.
North Korea's shocking breakthrough in a test 10 days ago, a missile able to reach as far as Chicago, has alarmed the world. That plus what U.S. officials call unusual and unprecedented submarine activity by North Korea, which hopes to develop sea-launched missiles as well, producing a diplomatic win for the White House, a unanimous U.N. vote for $1 billion in sanctions against Kim Jong-un, both China and Russia voting yes. While in Washington, talk of the potential need to plan for military options.
There's nothing like the threat of a ballistic missile landing on your homeland to clarify your thinking. The United States has to take prudent military planning into account.
While at that Asia summit, Tillerson also warning Russia's foreign minister the election hacking has seriously damaged relations.
That this had created serious mistrust between our two countries.
Vladimir Putin, spearfishing in Siberia, does not appear to be worried.
In separate meetings with Russia and China at the summit, the Secretary of State also pressing them to enforce those new U.N. sanctions instead of cheating to avoid a military conflict all sides agree would be catastrophic. Lester.
All right. Andrea Mitchell in Washington tonight. Thanks. Now to another big story. Violent weather striking across the country from the south all the way up to the northeast. Nearly 40 million people under flash flood watches today. Dramatic images out of Texas. Emergency workers racing to rescue a man trapped by the rushing waters. And tonight, the threat is far from over. NBC's Ann Thompson has the latest.
Destruction in Salisbury, Maryland. Evidence of what witnesses say was a possible tornado in the Eastern Shore's largest city. A storm with ferocious winds flipping cars and closing streets. But so far, no injuries among the 30,000 residents. All part of a dangerous day of weather across the country.
Did I get that?
Lightning strikes and more than 3 inches of rain made a morning drive a heart-stopping experience on San Antonio's Highway 151.
You can see the headlights of the truck. As you can see right now, the water's already above the hood.
The low-lying roadway flooded, forcing a man to the top of his SUV. To reach him, firemen extended a ladder truck and then hand-carried another ladder to cover the last gap, finally rescuing the motorist.
This is a very bad spot, very difficult, as y'all can tell from what we were doing.
Residents in New Orleans spent the day recovering after up to 10 inches of rain fell this weekend, overwhelming the city's pumps and flooding streets. Officials confirmed three tornadoes in Tulsa Sunday, the most serious injuring 30 people. A series of sudden summer storms reminding us of the frightening power of nature. Ann Thompson, NBC News.
Now to the intense manhunt for a police officer's suspected killer. Investigators in Missouri believe the man is on the run tonight after fatally gunning down a rookie cop during a traffic stop. NBC's Blake McCoy has the latest.
An urgent manhunt tonight in Missouri to find an accused cop killer. 39-year-old Ian McCarthy has been on the run since opening fire last night on a police officer who pulled him over for a traffic violation.
Shots fired, officer down, officer down. I'll get an ambulance here immediately.
Police say Officer Gary Michael of Clinton, Missouri, returned fire, but McCarthy got away.
His instinct was to return fire when he was struck, and it just shows that he was heroic to the end.
Officer Michael joined the force last year. His brother says he had never been happier and was buying a new house with his wife, Cindy.
One man's bad decision, and our family member that we love so much was standing in the way of that decision.
Clinton, Missouri is about an hour outside Kansas City. Nearby communities tonight are on high alert.
The search for the suspect intensifies.
Authorities spent the day searching McCarthy's home and say he has a criminal history that includes possession of a dangerous weapon, reckless and disorderly conduct, and first-degree assault. He already has a warrant out for his arrest in New Hampshire and now is charged with first-degree murder. Tonight, as a family grieves.
He's my hero today. Yeah. And he was hero to other people. And man, he had a lot of love.
The desperate search to find this man considered armed and dangerous. Blake McCoy, NBC News.
Tonight, the U.S. Marine Corps is considering a temporary stand down of flight operations to refocus all military pilots and crews on training following a series of accidents involving military aircraft. The most recent tragedy this weekend off the coast of Australia. Today, officials there said the wreckage of a U.S. Osprey has been found in the water after it crashed Saturday. And the military has declared three Marines missing after the crash deceased. Tonight, we're getting a look on board after extreme turbulence rocked an American Airlines flight so strong that it tossed people in the cabin. It sent cans and bottles flying and passengers and crew members to the hospital. NBC's Tom Costello has the high drama.
The turbulence on American Flight 759 was so severe, even the flight crew was caught off guard.
Mr. Captain, we really apologize for that unexpected bump.
The aftermath captured in these photographs, splattered coffee on the ceiling and overhead bins, the aisles littered with cans, wine bottles, spilled juice, and soda. In all, 10 people were injured, thrown about the cabin.
There was more than a second or two where I really did think that the plane might go down. And the thought that went in my mind is, when a plane goes down, this is what it feels like.
Master cabin to make an assessment of everybody, make sure everybody's okay.
Flying from Athens to Philadelphia, the plane was only 30 minutes from landing when it suddenly hit a pocket of violently unstable air.
For all the chaos and debris in the cabin, I think the flight crew at the back had it a lot worse.
Clear air turbulence is extremely difficult to predict, and reports of turbulence-related injuries are on the rise. In May, 27 were severely injured on a flight from Moscow to Bangkok. In June, passengers in Houston were carried off on stretchers. Some researchers believe climate change is a factor, causing the jet stream to shift dramatically. An unpredictable force of nature in the final weeks of the summer travel season. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Police are searching for suspects in a pair of separate disturbing road rage incidents. In Texas, authorities are looking for a man caught on camera pointing a gun at another driver. While in Ohio, a child is hospitalized after someone opened fire on the car he was in, wounding him in the head. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the details.
Tonight, police in Lancaster, Texas, have identified a possible suspect who investigators say pointed a gun at a passing car. Driving on I-35 near Dallas, the woman who recorded the video denies provoking the man, but says he appeared to think she was tailgating. In nearby Arlington, witnesses came forward and identified a man police say fired this gun five times into the air, angry after a woman blared her horn at him.
EMS just got a call for a four-year-old shot.
In Ohio overnight, Cleveland police say a four-year-old boy was shot in the head after his mother honked at another car. North of Los Angeles, this confrontation, a motorcyclist kicking a car on a busy freeway, leading to a chain reaction crash. According to a AAA study, nearly 80% of drivers in the U.S. admitted to experiencing significant anger behind the wheel, and 8 million drivers engaged in an extreme version of road rage, including ramming another car or getting out to confront another driver. One of the reasons?
As the economy improves, we see that we have more drivers out on the road. Obviously, more traffic can be a little stressful for drivers.
To put the brakes on road rage, Arlington police recently started their own campaign following the shooting death of 19-year-old Dylan Spade.
We're seeing more cases involving firearms, either displaying them or brandishing them.
What do you think that is?
You know, we don't know.
Marked and unmarked cruisers watch for unnecessary honking, tailgating, and aggressive hand gestures. The department has issued almost 700 citations in just 6 weeks as it tries to prevent another deadly outburst on the road. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Arlington, Texas.
This evening, federal investigators are still trying to determine if a weekend blast at a Minnesota mosque was a hate crime. The explosion happened on Saturday at the Dar al-Farouk Islamic Center in Bloomington, outside Minneapolis. It shattered windows and damaged the imam's office. No one was hurt. The governor is calling it an act of terrorism as the FBI works to identify who could be behind it. Overseas now, NBC News is on the front lines of a new battleground in the fight against ISIS. It has moved beyond the Middle East to the Philippines, where militants have taken control of a city now under a reign of terror, and American forces are among those trying to help get it back. NBC's Bill Neely has a rare look inside the fight.
It could be the Middle East, a city under siege, under ISIS rule, and under ferocious airstrikes. But this isn't Iraq or Syria. It's Marawi in the Philippines, and ISIS captured it 3 months ago. In spite of these airstrikes and attacks by 3,000 troops with American help, ISIS still holds this city. American spy planes and special forces helping an army in trouble. The main danger here is from ISIS snipers, and they're just across that bridge. And they've killed more than 100 of these soldiers. So it really is street by street and house by house.
House by house, street by street, we have to push them.
Local Islamists took the city, dozens still dug in.
Their snipers are very good. They do sing headshot all the time.
They make grisly videos, destroy churches, behead hostages. Their leaders trained in the Middle East, says this former militant.
In Saudi Arabia, 12 men have been trained there to make bombs.
Yeah.
The danger here is ISIS using this as a springboard into Asia, opening up a totally new battleground as it loses ground in the Middle East. Tonight, Rex Tillerson pledged more help to Philippines President Duterte to fight ISIS. More planes and drones. But ISIS is holding hostages here and holding out. A dark warning to the world. Bill Neely, NBC News, Marawi in the Philippines.
And still ahead as we continue tonight, new hope for fighting depression. The breakthrough that doctors are using to personalize treatments. Also, superstar Taylor Swift in court today. The accusation she's leveling at a former radio DJ. We'll be right back. We're back now with a medical advancement that could bring hope to the 15 million Americans who suffer from depression, maybe even for you or a member of your family. Up until now, the best way to find the right antidepressant was often through excruciating trial and error. But advances in genetics are changing that, and doctors say it's just the start. With tonight's Keeping You Healthy report, here's NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Mother of three, Sarah Ellis, will never forget her darkest days battling depression.
I was at several points where this is it. I can't do this anymore.
She tried antidepressants, more than a dozen of them, attempting to stay on each for the six-week trial doctors recommend. But the side effects were debilitating.
I was very sluggish, very fatigued. My sleep was disordered.
Like so many battling depression, years passed trying drug after drug.
That particular drug.
Until Dr. Matthew Stanley recommended a genetic test to see why her body wasn't responding.
It can tell me if you're going to have difficulty with metabolizing a drug I might prescribe.
Avera Institute for Human Genetics in Sioux Falls, South Dakota is among those at the cutting edge of pharmacogenomics, looking at how our genetics influence the way we process medications.
We'll hone in and look at the medications. Maybe it's down to 4 to 6 that are more effective for you.
The test costs $179 and is often covered by insurance.
One antidepressant. One
Sarah found her genetics made her overly sensitive to many of the newer medications. So Dr. Stanley prescribed an older class of antidepressants and experimented with lower doses.
It gave me hope. It gave me the will to keep fighting.
In depression patients, that can be life-saving. Finally, Sarah found the right combination and is now the mom she wants to be.
Come on, buddy.
Thanks to a new field of medicine with a very personal touch. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
And there's more to tell you about here tonight. Coming up next, the emotional return of something lost but found again for 8 of our nation's veterans. We're back now with a courtroom showdown in Denver involving one of the most famous music superstars in the world, Taylor Swift, showing up on the opening day of a trial that centers on a photo op with a radio DJ in which Swift says he behaved inappropriately, and he says she ruined his career. NBC's Joe Fryer has details.
Pop superstar Taylor Swift took to a different stage today, appearing in a federal courtroom away from the sight of cameras as jury selection gets underway. She is expected to testify at some point during the civil trial. The case stems from 2013 when Swift posed for a pre-concert photo with radio DJ David Mueller. In court documents, Swift says Mueller put his hand under her dress and grabbed her bare behind. She never reported it to police, but one of her reps contacted Mueller's employer, KYGO Radio, which fired him. In 2015, Mueller filed a civil lawsuit against Swift and members of her team, calling the groping allegation nonsense, saying it cost him his job. He defended himself during a radio interview last November.
My hand was never under her skirt. I never grabbed her.
Swift countersued, claiming assault and battery, saying she has never been so sure of anything in her life.
Celebrity status gives a litigant credibility. Just the fact that people feel like they know you.
The courthouse is bracing for big crowds. Arriving early today was Maya Benya, who hopes to give Swift a letter of support.
I think she's so brave for using her voice, and so I wanted to thank her for that.
Opening statements will likely take place tomorrow. The trial is scheduled to last about 2 weeks. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Denver.
As part of National Purple Heart Day, a ceremony was held in New York to reunite veterans or their family members with Purple Hearts they'd lost over the years. The medals, which honor service members killed or wounded in action, were recovered through a nonprofit group. 8 veterans from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and Iraq were honored this evening. Up next, the teen racer leaving obstacles in the dust and inspiring America.
Inspiring America is brought to you by Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles.
Finally, tonight, she's one of the fastest junior cyclists in the nation. But at age 16, she's already faced and overcome some tough odds in her race to the top. NBC's Katie Beck has tonight's Inspiring America report.
She doesn't look like a road warrior, not at 98 pounds. But 16-year-old Hannah Jordan has power behind her pedals. A nationally ranked cyclist, often leaving adult career riders in her dust. Her first time on a racing bike 2 years ago.
It's definitely a privilege to be out riding or just to be living.
Just living is a struggle, the proof hidden beneath her jersey. A pump constantly feeding glucose into Hannah's stomach, one she can't bike or live without.
A lot of people don't have any clue. They don't have any idea what she's been through.
Diagnosed with a growth disorder, then mitochondrial disease, Hannah was 9 years old when doctors thought she'd live only a few months. She'd sleep 20 hours a day, but her mom wanted to get her moving.
There's times in life where you don't get a second chance, you know.
Hannah's second chance has been the ride of her life. The girl who was bullied for that ever-present backpack, would soon be getting medals and sponsorship deals. Her focus now fixed on the Olympics.
What emotion would you say you feel the most?
I'd say freedom. Freedom would definitely be it.
Her head overrides what her body says she's capable of doing.
Her mind becomes beast mode, and she just doesn't give up.
Between races, Hannah talks to others with growth disorders about her journey.
Everybody has a place in life. They just have to choose to take the road.
Even when it's a rough one. Katie Beck, NBC News, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is NBC Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt, and for all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.